Morning. Maybe we can start with a word of prayer. Lord, as we come before you this morning, thank you for the beautiful, sunshiny Lord's Day that you have blessed us with. Thank you that we can meet here in this way. Pray that you would be near us as we look into your word. Pray that we could learn what you would have us to learn, and pray that we could have open hearts before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 for a start. I read these verses a couple weeks ago, and they've been stuck in my mind ever since. And interesting verses, they caught my mind as their action verses, I guess you could say. And I was mulling about how do they fit and look in practical life. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16, just two verses, verses 13 and 14. It reads, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men and be strong. Let all your things be done in charity," or we can say love. And they're short verses, easy to read over and be like, well, good things. But when you actually sit down and you look at them, there's a lot in just those two short verses. So I was looking at them, they're a call for action. And it's interesting, if you go through and highlight all the action words, it's watch, stand fast, be strong. And as we look at the first one, watch, God calls us to watch in several different ways in our lives. And 1 Peter chapter 5 gives one illustration of watching. 1 Peter chapter 5, just a couple verses 8 and 9. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world." It doesn't exactly say the word watch in here, but it says be sober and be vigilant, which means pay attention. It says our adversary, the devil, he's as a hungry lion and we're his prey. And he is trying to get out to catch us. So we need to be watchful and look out for Satan and what he has as tricks for us. Matthew chapter 14 gives another example of being watchful. Just another couple of verses in Matthew chapter 14, verse 37 and 38. Well, there's no 37 and 38, so I wrote down the wrong ones. But the verses talk about watching lest we fall into temptation. And that's a thing as much as watching out for the devil. We also need to be very careful in watching out for the temptations and the tricks that he sets up for us, because they can look great and non-harmful at first glance, but when we actually look into it, we realize that it's not as it always appears. Also, for another one for watching, we'll go to 1 Thessalonians. Hang on a minute. First Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 8, you read, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the light, in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet and hope of salvation. Here we see it's a very serious watch. And it talks about putting on the breastplate of faith and a helmet for the hope of salvation. And so I think we can very easily see that this is a serious watch we can't take lightly, or we're going to fail at our watch. The next phrase that puts up to us that these verses say is stand fast. And it's interesting, as you go through these, they all kind of build each one on another. For if we're going to stand fast, first we have to be watchful. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, reads, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. These verses talking about, this verse is talking about, we can see an active walk in the Lord. Always abounding. That's not a sitting back and relaxing. Being steadfast and unmovable. It shows that we have to know what we believe and be willing to take that stand. Philippians chapter 4, for one verse, says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Again here, so a lot of these verses I've written down, they're kind of similar, but they each say something a little bit different. Here, Paul is talking about my dearly beloved and longed for, and I hope we can each hold our faith as being dearly beloved and longed for, standing fast in the Lord. And in 1 Thessalonians, verse 7 to 9, it says, therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, but for all joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Here, we can see it's a joyful thing to stand fast in the Lord. It doesn't sound like a lot of standing fast in life isn't really a joyful thing sometimes. But here, when we have a steadfast faith in the Lord and we know where we're at, it's really a joyful thing to have. Going on for the next one, it's quit like men. And this was this was what caught my attention when I was going through, because I was like, what does it mean to quit like a man? That seems like an interesting analogy in the Bible. But I think it means fighting for God courageously and not giving up. 1 Timothy six, verses 11 and 12, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast possessed a good profession before many witnesses. It gives us a list of things here to follow after. And I think we have to have every one of these in order to fight the good fight of faith. But I think in fight the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life, there's not a spot for quitters. We have to be very diligent in what we believe and standing up for that. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, says, this is kind of oh, I was in the wrong chapter. That's why it didn't make sense. All right. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life, that he may please whom he hath, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. We need, as a soldier of Christ, we need to be able to endure hardness and to persevere. It talks about in here enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And in verse 4, it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of his life. And I think that's a call to be sought out wholly with one mission in mind. And in that, then we can be a courageous soldier for Christ. And also, right across the page for me, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto their fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions to the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Interesting, in these verses, it says we can't be weary in we're doing, but it says in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. And then it says reprove, rebuke, exhort. And then it says with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's kind of interesting. If we look at that, we don't have a spot that we let people ride in their sins if they're looking for help. We're willing to be reprove and rebuke and help them along the way. And it says, with all long suffering and doctrine, which means we can't give up, even when it feels like we're at our end. Maybe we failed with one person. Well, just because one person didn't heed what we had to share doesn't mean we can quit with everybody else. We have to keep going and be willing to persevere and to do that. And to the last action phrase in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians is be strong. We need to have a robust character, for lack of better words, and clear convictions. And robust, I guess, could be sound or not easily swayed in our character. Joshua chapter 1. For one verse, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. And I think this is very important when we're looking at being strong, is that we recognize that God is always with us. And that can help us, or at least me, be strong, knowing that I have the Lord by my side, and He's helping me through the hard parts of life. And in Psalms chapter 27, for one verse, verse 14, I was in the wrong chapter again. It says, "Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." When we wait on the Lord, He is going to strengthen us. And kind of goes along with what we just read in Joshua. Next, we'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 12. It reads, this is Paul here. It says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient unto me, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. For I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commanded of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs, wonders, and in mighty deeds." It's interesting. I think we can learn a lot from Paul here. We can be okay with being weak. Maybe we have a weak status in this world, or we have a weakness in the flesh or something. But we can be okay with that if God is working in our lives. We don't have to have everything together for everybody. We can recognize that God can work, and God worked a mighty work in Paul's life. And Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't exactly know what that was, but we know that he probably didn't feel the chiefest among all the men out there. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 9 through 13, it says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." We need to learn to be content in our physical and strive in our spiritual. And that's when God can really work. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 14, it says that "you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And it's kind of interesting here. In verse 11, it talks about being strengthened unto patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And I think to be strong and stand for the Lord, we need a lot of patience and we need a lot of long-suffering sometimes, because it can get rough when people are making fun of us or for what we believe. It can be rough not to be like, "Well, given this once, what's it going to matter?" But it does matter. So that concludes verses 13. And then 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's just a very short verse, but I think it's interesting that they follow up with this verse in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. Just after it talks about this, it says, "Let all your things be done in charity." And I think this wraps it up really well, because often we look at this list and we think of being tough, but we need to be loving as well, and seeking the best for others even when they seek the worst for us. And that can be, you need the verse before that we just went through, you need that verse to be able to love others when they are trying to be out to get us. But John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35, read, "Therefore, now when he was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of God glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, and ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one another.'" God gives us a commandment to love others in the same way that he has loved us. And that's a pretty big buyer to reach if you think about the way he's forgiven us and loves us and has a relationship with us. In the same way, we need to be willing to forgive others as they wrong us and to show them love. And it's interesting in the last verse here that I read, "By this shall you know that all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." The world doesn't really show that kind of love. Their type of love is, if you love me, I love you. But if it goes and you don't love me, well, I don't have to love you either. And it shows the world something when you're willing to turn around and be nice to the person that just threw you under the bus. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 9, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all these things, have fervent charity and among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitudes of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging." And the phrase that stuck out to me in these verses is a fervent charity, or in a lot of versions is a fervent love. And fervent basically means intense, passionate, or boiling, in what I looked up. And the same needs to be our love for others, as we need to have a fervent love, as this talks about here, towards others, just as Christ has loved us. So it's just a couple verses that had a lot in and stood out to me, because in our Christian walk, we need to be sincere, diligent, and fervent in our faith, to be strong, hold fast, and to persevere and give up, or quit like men. So that's what I had to share.